Today's scripture comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds in earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I wonder if you would bow your heads and pray for me for a minute. Holy God, I ask your blessing now on these words that I have prepared and that they would become your words, because when we come and worship you and when we listen for your voice, we can grow deeper and we can know you more. And that is the goal for the day. And so, Holy God, I pray your blessing upon us all, and I pray it in the name of Christ. Amen. So several years ago, we lived over in Fox Mill Estates. It's kind of over there. And it was early one morning, and I was still in bed, and I was lying there, and I thought, I hear a chicken. And I thought, I can't hear a chicken. Like, what is that about? So I ignored it, right? And so I got up and I was cooking breakfast, and again I was like, boop, 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 and I said, I can't hear a chicken. Then my daughter came out, and they were young. The kids were young at this time, and she comes out and she says, "Mom, I think I hear a chicken." And I said, "Okay, if she hears a chicken and I hear a chicken, then there must be a chicken somewhere." So we walked outside and we had a deck, and then behind the deck there is this grove of trees. And so we walked in the backyard and we're looking and we're like, is there a chicken back there? Because that would be very odd. We were close to Frying Pan Park, but we weren't that close to Frying Pan Park. You should not have been able to hear a chicken. And then one of my sons came running around the side of the house. He said, "Mom, there's a chicken in that big bush next to the Livesey's garage." And we weren't crazy. There was a chicken. And so we walked around and we looked in the bush, and there was the most pitiful chicken you have ever seen. And she was in the tree. She's like halfway up and she's like, "Boo, boo, boo, boo." And she looked at me with these little beady chicken eyes. And if she could have talked, she would have said to me, "I don't know what happened. I was taking a walk in the barnyard, and then there was a street, and then there were cars, and then there were dogs, and then there was a cat. And now I'm in this tree, and I'm cold, and I'm scared, and can you please help me?" It was very sad. Only it wasn't that clear. It was more like, "Book, book, 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 book." And I thought, "Oh my goodness, I can help you, honey." It's not hard to help a chicken, right? It's not hard. So I called Frying Pan Park and I said, "There is a chicken in the bush next to the garage." And they said, we haven't lost any chickens. And I said, "You must go count again, because there is a chicken and I'm not sure where else it would have come from." And sure enough, they came out and they took the chicken and they put it in a cage and they took it back and they put it in the chicken coop, and all her little chicken friends said, "Welcome home." And they were given hay. She was given hay, clean hay to sleep in and warm mash to eat. And they were all together in the community of the chicken coop. And you know what she found? She found sanctuary. Sanctuary. I want to show you a picture of just about the cutest puppy you've ever seen. I know, that's Murphy. Murphy the puppy lives with Rick and Kelly Warmly. They got him not too long ago, and he's just a little puppy. And what Murphy does all day long is he plays and he chews and he tumbles and he trips and he goes out and he goes in and he goes in and he goes out and he goes in when he should go out, and he does things that he shouldn't do. But he's exhausted, right? Because puppies, they're little things. They're learning how to be big dogs. And so every now and then he gets exhausted. And I want to show you where Murphy chooses to sleep. If you look closely, those are Rick's feet. Right? And so Murphy knows these feet. Murphy knows these feet because they take him in and they take him out and they let him chew on his shoelaces and it takes him for walks and it's teaching him new things. And so when Murphy's exhausted, when Murphy needs a place of safety and warmth, that's where he sleeps, right between Rick's feet. Sanctuary. Murphy's found sanctuary. We all need sanctuary. Sanctuary. Sanctuary is a place that you find when you need to rest. It's a place that offers you comfort and warmth and a chance to breathe when otherwise you can't breathe, because sometimes life just comes at you and you just want a moment to stop and be still. Have you ever watched a group of kids play tag? I was substitute teaching a long time ago, and I was teaching a sixth grade class, which is an experience in and of itself. God bless teachers, especially sixth grade teachers. But they were outside in fifth and sixth grade classes, and they were a group of boys playing tag. This is when they were allowed to run on playground and do stuff like that. And they were going crazy. I mean, they were playing tag. It was a serious game of tag, and they were back and forth. These are the boys who in class were terribly independent, and they were sassy. They were very terribly sassy boys, and they were doing all the things that kids do when they have a substitute. They're trying to trip me up, right? But now they're outside, these same independent boys, and they're running around, but they have created base, home base. And home base is a place where you're safe. And every now and then, one of the boys is just like, and they'd grab onto the base, and they're like, you can't get me. And they would just catch their breath, and they would breathe, and they were safe. And then they'd let go, and off they'd run again, and they'd play tag. But even those boys needed a place of safety. Sanctuary. Sanctuary is what you long for when your life feels upside down, when things aren't going the way that you wish they were going, when curveballs are thrown at you and you're not quite sure what to do. Sanctuary. Churches have often been a place of sanctuary. You remember the story, The Hunchback of Notre Dame by Victor Hugo. Quasimodo is the main character in that story, and he's this misunderstood man, and he has sanctuary inside the church. That's not a true story, but it's based on this true fact that from the 4th to the 17th century, churches were legal sanctuaries. You could not be arrested inside a church. You couldn't be prosecuted inside a church. As long as you were within the church, you were safe. That's not the case anymore. It's not legally the case anymore, but churches have this long history of providing sanctuary. In Central America, just recently, there's been a sanctuary church movement, and churches are providing this place. It's kind of a silent agreement that if you go into the church, you are free from the violence of gangs and from the mismanagement of government. And it's providing some shelter, but a sanctuary. Everyone needs sanctuary. Everyone needs sometimes to find a place of rest. Your church serves as a sanctuary. During the week, I don't mean just this space. This is our sanctuary. It's a beautiful place, but it's not just the space that's a sanctuary. During the week, people come in here, and it's quiet and it's dark, and people come in. Sometimes people that don't go to our church, but something has pulled them here, and they come and they sit just in here in the sanctuary, and they just sit quietly, and it's quiet, and it's dark, and they just sit, and so often they're carrying these burdens of anxiety and burdens of grief, sometimes burdens of fear and uncertainty, and they come, and they sit, and they just sit by themselves in the presence of God, and they breathe. And sometimes nobody knows they're here, and that's okay. But sometimes God will send someone else to sit with them, to come and sit beside them and pray with them and offer comfort and some words and just conversation. And that is sanctuary too. When you talk to people who have experienced sanctuary, they will tell you stories of quiet, dark churches where they experience sanctuary. I've done that. I've done it I remember actually doing it once when we were in Israel, and we went in this beautiful old church, and I just had a moment by myself, and I thought, oh, this feels so good. But more often when people tell you stories of sanctuary, they are going to tell you stories of relationships with people, of the times when people reached out and said, can I help you? Can I help you find a place of safety? Can I help you find rest? Can I help you take a breath for a moment? And that's what the church is called to be, that. When Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, he was saying, here I will be, and I want you to come. I want people to know that they can come and be accepted and loved and cared for who they are. And it's that open arms. And remember, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we all need rest. And that's sanctuary. That's what the church can do. Jesus understood this need for sanctuary. And in today's parable, he's trying to help people understand this huge concept of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And so he says, again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? And what I want you to remember is when Jesus is talking to those, the Israelites, the Jews, so long ago, he's talking to a society much like ours. People who are disillusioned with organized religion. They feel it's become about unreasonable laws and unrealistic expectations. We know people like that today, people who think they have no need of the church. In Jesus' time, talking about the kingdom was hard because they had no desire to submit to another king. They hadn't had a good track record with kings. But Jesus is smart. He knows how to reach them, and he takes this kingdom image and he puts it into an agrarian image, a farming image. And he says, it is like a mustard seed, which is smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. I want you to read this next part with me, all right? Starting with the word with. Are you ready? With such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Take a look at two words, branches and shade. This kingdom of God image is like this bush. It's got big branches. And they're so large. They're so large that birds can find safety from predators. And they can sit in there and they're protected by the foliage that's around them. But that's not all. The birds can perch on these branches, but they're so large and the size of it is so great that it provides shade from the burning sun. And I've been in Israel and I've stood in this hot, kind of rocky desert, and I felt this hot, intense sun and the wind, this hot wind, and I thought, wow, I need some shade. And in Jesus' time, there weren't that many trees. So when there was a big bush or a tree that provided shade, it was like it was a gift from God. And so Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is like this bush that has big branches and provides shade. I think there are a lot of people in Northern Virginia who would love to find a place of shade and rest. But we have this unique challenge. I had a conversation with a woman the other day, a very nice woman in a waiting room, and we were commiserating. You know, about the weather, about the weight, and it's like, here we are waiting, and it's lots of snowy, wet snow outside, and you know, you form relationships like that, they're very quick, and you kind of, every now and then you meet someone who you say, I really like her, and we were having a great conversation, and then she says, so what do you do when you're not in waiting rooms? And I said, I'm a pastor, and you could watch her face. She kind of went, what? And I said, no, I'm a pastor for a Christian church, a United Methodist pastor, Florist United Methodist on that hill in Herndon. And she looked at me for what felt like a very long time, and she said, really? I don't want anything to do with the church. And I went, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't say that. I was thinking, I'm so sorry. But we had a little bit of an opportunity for conversation, and honestly, it made me so sad. Because as we talked, she shared with me, she said, the church is judgmental, and the church, there's no need for organized religion anymore. It's just fake. And she quoted, she said, there are pastors, there's a Baptist pastor that burned Korans, and there's Catholic priests that abuse children. And she told me about her pastor as a child. She said he just droned on and on about sin. And she's right. Like, what she describes is true and real. Those things really happen, and they are terribly sad. And I don't want to take away the truth of her experience, but what she's describing is not the church. What she's describing is some perverted thing that happened with people when humans stepped in and took the wrong concept. But the church that Christ calls us to be, the church that we are challenged to be, is a place that offers safety and shade and rest. That's what the church is at its best. And I talked to her for a little bit longer, and I wish I'd had more time, but we talked a little bit, and I did invite her to come. I hope she comes. And you know why I want her to come? Because I want her to meet you. I want her to come in, and I want her to experience hospitality and welcome. I want her to know that Christians are really intelligent and they're fun, and they can just enfold you in, and it's not going to be weird. It's just going to be a place of safety and rest. That's what the church is, and that's what I wish for her. And again, I just feel so sad that she doesn't have that, because here's what I know. Sometime in her life, she will need sanctuary. And she will need a place where she can be surrounded and cared for, and where she can take a breath and know that it's all right. Because it happens. This afternoon and tomorrow, your church, the building and the people, are going to be sanctuary. And there's a family that has lost an 18-year-old son. And in the unspeakable tragedy of that, they are surrounded by the love of the church. And you know what I love? I love you because you've been calling and you've been emailing. You've been saying, what can I do? I don't know the family, but I can't imagine. What can I do to help? How can I be present? What do you need? And call after call and email after email has been coming in. And it makes me feel so hopeful. And that's in the midst of a very sad week. And here's what I know. This afternoon and tomorrow, you're going to come, and you are going to clean the church, and you're going to put tablecloths on tables, and you're going to put arrangements, and you're going to bring food in, and you're going to serve it, and you're going to clean it up, and you're going to mop floors, and you're going to pass out bulletins, and you are just going to be present, and you're going to be the church, and you are going to offer sanctuary. And you're going to offer sanctuary to this family and all of their friends. And this afternoon during this visitation, students are going to come, and teachers are going to come, and the community is going to come, and family and friends and all sorts of people, many who don't know the church. And they're going to walk in here, and you are going to welcome them, and you're going to give them a place to breathe and to rest and to know that they are safe. That's the church. That's offering sanctuary. This week, today, I want us to pray about that. I want us to pray about it because Our world is in such need of places of safety and rest, and what we know is that Christ is the one who truly offers sanctuary. I often hear you say, I heard it several times this week, how do people survive something like this without the church? How do they survive it without the church? And the truth is, many don't. Many people are like my chicken. They're lost and they're cold and they're in a tree and they're all hunched over and there's dogs barking and cats and foxes and cars and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go and they're longing for sanctuary, but they don't know how to ask for it. And that's where you come in. Because I believe that Christ has said to us, to the church, reach out. You know, he says, the smallest of seed will grow a big branch, a big bush with big branches. And so when you go into a community, when you go to your schools and your workplaces and all the places that you go and you plant a little tiny seed about church, about who Jesus is, about how your church did this for you, how it did it for someone else. You just plant that little seed, and what that seed might do is when there is a desperate need for comfort and safety and rest, they might remember, wait a minute, she told me about a church, and she said I would be welcome. And they might come, and that seed will grow into this bush, and they will discover safety and rest. So let's pray about that. When you come forward for communion today, there are people in your lives that you can share this message with. And I want you to do that. But there's another thing I want us to pray about as well, because here's what I know. There are people sitting here today, all the services online even, and they are in need of sanctuary. But they already know the church. They're already here and they're sitting next to you, or perhaps it's you. And you're going through a time and you are internally feeling lost and perhaps frightened or scared or something is going on and you're not quite sure how to reach out. And all it takes is someone to say, hey, how are you doing? How can I help you? It's conversation. And so, today, interestingly enough, is the Sunday that we decided to talk about congregational care. The Sunday we decided to put in front of you opportunities to help one another. And this was not planned, and I am once again amazed at how this happens. But in your bulletin, you'll find this. And I'd love for you to pull that out right now. Take a look at it. Because you have the opportunity to offer sanctuary to other people. To people within this church and to people outside of this church. And so today, I want us to look at this form together. On one side, it says angels on call. That's the emergency response team. Because what happens is people call and they say, my husband has cancer, he's going to be in the hospital, can you come help me? And we'll say, yes, do you need meals? Do you need a ride? What do you need? And we'll call you because you have signed up to help. And in that emergency time, we will call you and we will say, can you do this? Can you send cards? This person's hurting. Let's shower them with cards. There's all sorts of opportunities here, and you can sign up and you can be a part of the emergency response team and offer sanctuary in that way. And then on the back of it, turn it over and look at the back. There's some deeper opportunities. And there's two. One of them is this family and caregiver support system. And in that is parents of kids with special needs would love to have the opportunity to go out and know that their kids are cared for, that their kids have sanctuary. And then there are people, adults, who have long-term illnesses or chronic diseases, and they need somebody to come stay with them so their caregiver can go out for a little bit. And that's what that is. And then the last thing is congregational care ministries. And that, I love our congregational care ministers. They are people that get some training and they commit to serving, and they work with people who are going through a divorce, who are dealing with cancer, who are dealing with mental illness, who are all sorts of things. And they walk with them, they companion with them through this time period. And we can give you more information about that. So I want you to fill this out, because everybody needs sanctuary. And we all have something we can give to offer that. So even if you filled, if you've signed up before, I want you to sign up again. But some of you are thinking, I don't know. I need to pray about it. And that's fair. It is fair to pray about it. But here's what I want you to do, because what happens is we say, well, pray about it. You fold it up, you put it in your pocket or in your purse, and you never see it again. So what I want you to do is check the box that says, I want more information. And then go pray about it. And we will call you and we will give you information and we will pray with you, and then we will figure out how you are called to offer sanctuary. So when you come forward for communion today, there's baskets up here and you can just lay them on the communion rails too. How can you offer sanctuary to somebody? How can you be the branches and offer shade and rest? That's the church that Christ calls us to be. Amen?